Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, Attorney at Law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to third hour of RadioLawTalk.com. We are ready for a wild ride today. We've been talking about the role of judges and the fun things that happen in court, especially when judges decide they want to say something clever or funny or other.
Have you ever done that while you have served as a judge pro tem? Have you ever made in context, but not necessarily related to the case? I mean, obviously that's the answer for a judge, to keep their lips zipped and comment only on the case. Have you ever done that or been tempted to?
Lots of times I've been tempted to. I have to rethink my comments sometimes when I want to be clever. And I try very, very hard not to make things, or not to say things that could be interpreted in the wrong way.
Well, that's the question for Fred. Fred, when serving as a judge pro tem, have you ever made a snide or a side comment that maybe was not related to the case?
No, you can put me on the mic. Am I on the mic? Okay, yeah. No, I'm very careful in what I say, and I know judges that are, I'm telling you, 99.9% of judges, in fact, I can't even remember a judge saying anything really bad or snide. I know one judge, and Denise knows too, that would say stuff that's not snide or mean, but he was just didn't quite, you know, have the filter, and would say, I'm going to say the word interesting stuff. And the funny thing about this judge is, this judge would cross examine the people on the witness stand. In other words, the judge is supposed to be a neutral party and sit there and not say anything and just, I mean, not say anything, you know, no cross examine. But this judge would cross examine witnesses. Wait a minute, I've got some questions of your witness. You're the judge. You're not supposed to be cross-examining. Well, I've got a few questions. Sometimes it's good for you because he's cross-examining the person that you're going against. But sometimes it was...
Sometimes judges will, there'll be like a hole in the evidence that they need to have information on, or they didn't catch something. They want to make sure that they understand it. And I find that to be helpful, right, usually for the most part, because then I can see, oh, I probably didn't explain that little part in my case, or I'm so glad he's listening.
Well, I think sometimes he says the jurors are going to either need or want to know this little fine point of law or procedure, so maybe I better bring this up now, or it's going to come up in appeal. Is that possible, Fred, or am I thinking out of time?
Yeah, it can. It can.
I think more likely judges don't ask questions when the jurors are involved. I think it's more when it's just a court trial that the courts will ask questions. And I do find for myself, when I sit as a temporary judge in small claims, I may ask a question, and it's not a cross-examination. It's just me not understanding a piece of what the parties before me are trying to tell me, or me seeing that I need to know a certain fact in order to decide a legal issue.
So Judge Judy, who just had a big news article published where she said, you know, the issue is here, this cancel culture, this has got to go. I am not afraid to look people in the eye and ask them hard questions. For example, my favorite Judge Judy question of all time. A person shows up in flip-flops and shorts with no paperwork, and she said, did you know where you were coming today, sir?
Yeah, funny say, sir. That's exactly right. Well, this hour, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk about fun and interesting stuff. We're going to talk about the Boy Scouts bankruptcy, what the judge says about bankruptcy, and the lawyers, what they do in a bankruptcy. They will submit their bills and their costs, et cetera, and the experts' costs. You're going to be shocked when you hear what we're going to say about the Boy Scouts bankruptcy.
I
was shocked. But we're also going to talk about, we're going to follow up on what this federal judge said out in, I believe it's in Houston. I want to talk about that. We're going to also talk about Chris Cornell's family settles a lawsuit and the singer for Soundgarden, right?
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that. And then we have a case or no case, which is the most important thing we're here for, Cal, because we have 5 minutes for you to set this up. Just go ahead and set the case or no case
okay.
up.
Okay.
And we'll go from there.
I think I will do that. Here yeah. we go, ladies and gentlemen. Stand by.
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay!
All right, here we go. A 32-year-old man, Quint, found out that his ex-spouse, with whom he hadn't spoken since they divorced, passed away tragically in a moped accident. His ex-wife had life insurance through her job. His ex-mother-in-law informed Quint that the ex-wife had kept Quint as the beneficiary on that life insurance policy. And her family said, wait a minute, that's basically burial insurance. But that we want that for funeral costs. Not only did the ex-wife have him on her policy and as the primary and only beneficiary, she updated the paperwork with his home address on the policy after they divorced and he moved. And the now deceased ex-wife had two term life insurance policies, one for him and one for the ex-sister-in-law. Now he's remarried. He said his divorce was simple and easy. We left the marriage with what we came into it with. The life insurance company approved the check in his name, and it's sending it to his house. But the family is getting demanding as to the proceeds from the first. So they went to a lawyer and said, Denise Dirks, case or no case?
Okay. That's a very good question.
That's a great one.
And actually, it shows, since she added his address, updated his address after the divorce, it showed she still had the intent to keep him as the beneficiary of that life insurance policy. And in all of my marital settlement agreements that I do, I have some kind of a warning in them that says you need to review your estate plan with an attorney of your choice, because, you know, once you get divorced, things could change and you need to, you know, be updated, and your estate plan may become outdated and all of that. So there's kind of a warning that's in the marital settlement agreements. So what I would say is that this is no case.
Ooh. This, by the way, is in the state of New York, FYI.
All right. Just so you know, Denise, I'm going to go complete opposite of you. I'm saying this is a case, and it's funny you said that, Cal. The first thing I was, when you were halfway through it, I said she forgot to change the beneficiaries of the life insurance policy. But then, like you said, when it came down to it, she had actually changed the, when they moved, she changed the addresses and the names and the former sister-in-law. Believe it or not, a lot of times there are divorces and they still get along even after the divorces. And I'm going to say this is a case and that the husband, the former husband, wins and gets the life insurance policy. And it's weird, the sister-in-law, because here's why I think, Denise, and I may be wrong, I don't think Cal would bring up the fact that it was the sister-in-law was involved in making something up. He would have just said the husband. So I think this is a case, and the husband and sister-in-law win.
Well, are you ready for an answer?
I am. Let's do it.
They settled and gave the money to their family.
Well, whatever.
The insurance policy was between the ex and her insurer. That's a deal between them. But in the state of New York, it is possible to overturn a life insurance policy if it explicitly goes against the terms of the divorce decree.
Oh.
As happened in this case, the divorce decree said something else, stipulated something else, but she went and changed the address and kept the policy in his name. In another case, in Minnesota, the children of the deceased were awarded the proceeds from the life insurance policy and not the ex. Because the judge said, I'm pretty sure that's what the ex-husband wanted.
Uh-huh.
So it really depends on, in fact, there are 20-some states where the beneficiary does not necessarily go like that, where it's up in the air and open to public discourse. So the case is not over. And even though Quint looks like he's going to come out okay, it is not yet in the clear.
So it is a case.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I win the one.
Oh, yeah,
and I said he wins. We just don't know yet. So I don't get a point for that because we don't know yet.
That's correct.
So I get 1 point. Denise gets none. Oh, I'm so sorry, Denise. I feel bad for you.
I could tell.
I know.
He sounds just sick about it.
He looks like the Cheshire Cat.
I'm just sick about Denise not doing that. Well, that's case or no case. I want to jump back. Oh, are we running low?
Oh, my gosh. But when I come back, I want to jump back and talk about that federal judge, some of the things that he has said over, apparently, behind the bench when we come back. I'm Fred Petty.
Thank you, Fred. Stay tuned. There is much more Radio Rock Top coming up. In fact, a whole, whole three segments, I think. So don't go away. Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
These claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
Wayne Elliott here to tell you about my experience with Strauss Naturals Heart Drops over the past 20 years. Strauss Heart Drops saved me back then and changed my life forever. It's hard to describe how invigorating it is when you support your healthy blood flow everywhere. There is scientific evidence that Heart Drops ingredients help maintain healthy lipid concentration. Cholesterol is in the blood lipid group. This supports blood flow, our body's most important function. I was able to maintain a healthy heart and blood flow. Strauss Heart Drops work, I can assure you. No contraindications with pharma drugs. Strauss Heart Drops are safe, and Strauss guarantees your satisfaction with a hassle-free guarantee so you can't go wrong and certainly have nothing to lose. I've seen folks taking Heart Drops that have greatly improved their lives. Available online at StraussNaturals.com. Thank you very much.
These products may not be right for you. Always read and follow the label.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-493-6112. 800-493-6112. 800-493-6112.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
This is no fun. Who told you that?
This is a great time to call the show. 855 Law Radio. That's 855 Law Radio.
You know, this is what we're going to talk about. This is Frederick Penny, the host of Radio Law Talk with Denise Dirks, 855 Law Radio. Give us a call. We were talking about a judge in Houston, and the reason we want to continue this, we talked about it our hour two, and then we had our case or no case. Now we're on this because I kind of want to bring up one thing. You know, and then we're going to talk about a judge accused of assaulting another inmate who was cussing him out while he was the inmate was cussing the judge out while he was on the bench. These judges go through a lot, and I'm gonna you hear, okay, this judge shouldn't have acted this way or that way. These judges, and we know them, Denise, I know a lot of them. They put up with a lot of crap. I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it. Put up with a lot of crap. And they just bite their tongue, and they just you know, okay, they've got to act calm. But sometimes they're human, and they just crack. You know, that's just part of it, right?
Including threats, right?
Oh, everything. Oh, yeah, there's been threats. These judges get threats and all
and
kinds of
they
stuff.
They also have, they're under different type of pressures because the federal judges are appointed for life. They're not elected officials. Right. But usually other judges that are not federal in nature, they could be appointed, but most of them are being elected.
Right.
Or at least at some point they have to run for election.
Every 12 years in the case of the California Supreme Court, more frequently in the case of local superior court judges.
Yeah,
right?
I think it's right. 6 years.
Right.
Yeah.
So because of that, there's different competing kind of needs for the judges. Like, I think it was 3 years ago, we actually covered a judge that had done something very, very controversial. And he ultimately got recalled for it. But if you stop and you think that these judges that are up for re-election, they have to take a hard stance sometimes,
right,
and come down really hard on crime before they are elected, because otherwise they could be elected out or voted out. So anyway, this judge does not have to worry about that. This judge,
right,
has a lifetime appointment. So he's gotten a little salty. In
yeah, federal court. It's federal court. So a couple of things. This was the most shocking one. These are quotes, and this is from the ABA Journal. Quote, he said this, and this is the judge that does not like federal process, doesn't like prosecutors, doesn't really like that. Sounds like he does. He kind of goes against the government a few times, the government attorneys. He said, quote, it was a lot simpler when you guys wore dark suits, white shirts, and navy ties.
And he said that to a female.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We didn't let girls do it in the old days. It's like, oh, my God.
No, that's pretty pretty bad.
That's pretty salty. He's 79 yeah. years old, Denise, and you brought up maybe.
I thought it was only 79.
And not to get, maybe he's losing a little bit. And here's another quote from him. I know you're all useless government bureaucrats. I guess he says stuff that sometimes everybody wants to say. Sometimes.
I was going to say, thank you, Judge.
Yeah.
What's your number?
Yeah. Not that's not, but anyway, and here's another one, and this is from the ABA article. Government attorneys in Washington, quote, are back from lunch now. It's 1 o'clock in Washington, and they are only going to work until about 3:30. The phrase public integrity in connection with the Justice Department is a contradiction, he says.
Now, this is a Reagan-appointed federal judge, and at the time that he was making these comments, it was a Democratic Justice Department that was in play. And so, you know, it just violates one of the most important axioms, I think, of our judges, is that you have to remain apolitical. You cannot
right.
become politicized.
And there's an integrity issue here. If someone attacks your integrity, and you're in the court system, that's just not a good thing. Even though, in his view, he's telling the truth when he says, look, you guys don't put in long hours.
Right.
You don't do anything. I was slopping here late. I hate that. I mean, is he entitled to do that? I mean, let's just say they always did come in at, at 1:15 instead of 1 o'clock. And he wants to get going. Let's go, guys. I got
right. to... Here's something interesting, though, Denise, that you said, and I'm gonna challenge you a little bit on this because we love doing this. So your insinuation is he's a conservative, and he is from Reagan. I'm gonna say a conservative, kind of a more moderate conservative. But guess what, though, in the ruling that we talked about with the terrorist, it was kind of the opposite. It was more of a liberal thing that he did. More of a conservative judge would have thrown the book at him, right? Would have done the 15 years, a more conservative, right-wing type judge. But he was telling him they only get 18 months. And so I'm
right,
not quite
he
sure.
He should have got 15 years. It was almost like there was a minimum penalty, and
right.
he gave him less than the minimum penalty.
Which is not more, which I'm not trying to, I'm saying it's,
he's kind of flopping back and forth.
But for some reason, in this particular case, he identified with this terrorist. This guy admitted that he had funded, you know, a terrorist organization, and then he had helped one of his friends to go and join that terrorist organization, and then that friend was killed. And so this is kind of the factual background. And for some reason, this judge seemed to identify with this criminal who was an admitted criminal. He was there for sentencing. And that's why I brought up the fact that we've covered another judge who got recalled. Because the judge in California that got recalled, he did not like the fact that the defendant did what he did, but he was a swimmer, he was an athlete, he was from a very wealthy school and wealthy family, and he didn't want to ruin his life forever.
But right? I think I could see that, if we're going to that, I could see that judge doing that with anyone that, and I'm not saying what was right, but he got recalled for what his ruling was and what he believed was right. But what's scary about that, Denise, that I've brought up is when judges are worried about being recalled or kicked out and they have a ruling accordingly, that's scary, Denise, that they really have to be neutral.
They do.
And they have to say what they truly believe is the best for the country. You know, and for the state or for that county, and the problem is
or for that case.
Yeah, that case, exactly. And I worry about, okay, you're getting recalled because this was your sentence and we don't agree with it, the public. That's a little scary to me.
It is, and not only that, but you don't know this, but if they get recalled, they lose their retirement benefits.
Yeah, that's
it's like there's nothing sacred. And it's, I don't know. We talked about that our first year, and I still struggle with that same concept about having judges recalled.
But judges still need to remember for whom they work. And they're there to help enforce the law in accordance with the will of the people, who are, after all, the people that they work for.
But, Cal, so are the politicians, right? And they pander to people, right? And so there we go. I mean, you got to be careful. We'll be back after this. Talk about a judge accused of assaulting an inmate. We'll be back.
Bad behaving judges, again, coming up next on Radio Law Talk right here. Stay tuned.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Jason Rossbach here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or give them a call 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In. Ready to grow with you.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
I've got to get my car washed. The dirt is just won't do. But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
And I know this place right down the road. Quick, quick, car wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this pattern shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, quick, quick, car wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick, quick, car wash. They'll have you looking sharp.
You
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Tear gas and water cannons have been deployed by riot police in Paris against protesters that are demonstrating in support of the Palestinians. Paris has a ban on social gathering. Some demonstrations in other French cities were peaceful. Other marches were held in London, Berlin, and the Netherlands following a week of intense fighting between Israel and the Palestinians. Some of the outrage directed at Israel follows the destruction of a high-rise building in Gaza City. One of them housed the offices of international media companies, including the Associated Press and Al Jazeera. Al Jazeera is calling the bombings a clear act to stop journalists from reporting on the conflict. Also targeted, according to the Israeli military, the home of a top Hamas leader. This is USA Radio News.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Radio Lock Talk.
And now back to the show. Here are Denise Dirks and Fred Penny.
We were talking during the break about a judge. We're talking about basically how judges get they have a lot of stress on them, and there's a judge that is facing some ethics issues in Georgia that apparently. An individual that he sentenced didn't like what the sentence was and started cussing the judge out as the inmate was being taken out of court and just didn't stop. And finally the judge, apparently, this is my understanding, is kind of fired back at him, you know, verbally. And as they took this individual out, you know, in the hallway, apparently back to his cell, jail cell or something, as he was cuffed. I don't know if his legs were cuffed or his hands. I can't remember.
But it was both.
Both. The judge walks out. I don't know if he takes a break, steps out in there, and didn't physically hurt him. He just kind of pushed him up against the wall and you know, told him, you know, knock it off type of thing. And then now the judge is going to go through some they're looking at disciplinary actions. It's not going to say that it's going to happen or that he's going to be disciplined. But these are, again, allegations that his verbal but you know, hey, look, they've got you know, cameras everywhere. So, but he basically just
pushed. But there's no audio.
Right.
There
right.
was only video, and right. so it's very difficult for them to understand
right.
what the inmate was saying or what the judge was responding.
Oh, I'll tell you what the inmate was saying, without even knowing. But you know, the inmate was cussing him out. You know, and so I'm sure the judge probably threw a few himself, but the fact is he went out in the hallway and kind of put the guy up against the.
Let's see you out. outside in the without those robes on, Judge, and let's see how tough you are at that point. I mean, I'm sure there's always been that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, with cuss words going on.
I will tell you this. The officer that was taking the inmate out must have been shocked.
Right, right. But the judge is rolling out. It's, Your Honor, go get back on the bench. But that. So I hate to say it, the stress that these judges go through, and these judges are being disrespected constantly, the respect of the courts. Just in the past 29 years I've been practicing, I've seen the difference between how the court is respected back when I first started to now. It has changed. People do not respect them. Not all. Just I'm saying, you see defendants, going off on judges and people, and they should not.
Well, there's several reasons for that in California, because it's been quite a topic of discussion in my little area of Northern California. The first is the defendants don't even show up for court. And if they do are dragged into court, it's after they've gotten in a fight with an officer after the chase. I'm talking about the low-level criminal defendants.
You're talking in general.
In general terms, of course. In general terms, of course. That there's a fight, usually, or some sort of disagreement, disruption out in the street. They come into court. The defendants are angry. They don't want to be there. They know they don't have to be there. They know the judge is going to slap them on the hands and set them loose anyway. What am I doing? I heard one guy say, what am I even doing here? I'm going to be out here in just a minute. And that was true. That was what the law required. So the respect comes, lack of respect comes, in my humble opinion, is from the fact that many states have chosen simply not to enforce the law as it is written. So there is no real consequence there. So then when they and the judge mash it up and the judge really does enforce the law, then the guy gets upset because,
I could see
it. What I've seen in my time frame is a very different bench. Very different judicial makeup. We have a lot more diversity in our judges, and I feel like the training of the judges is getting better and better, and that the expectation for judges is as high of a standard as it's ever been. And so I really feel like judges are meeting that ethical and professional and unbiased, for the most part, that they are expected to be.
Generally speaking.
Yes, and you may get a bad egg here and there, but for the most part, the judicial officers that I'm that I'm around, I really have high respect for them because they have amazing patience and amazing
control. Exactly what I was going to say, Denise, and that's what I've noticed. Their temperance is so much higher than before. In the early days, 50 years ago, a judge will, they'll be getting on you, but now they're just... Their temperament has to be so, they have to be so calm all the time.
Absolutely.
And boy, people say stuff in court, and I've heard it. They just snap at the judge. And what I say is that's not too bright, because the judge does make the ruling about your case and why you're stupid enough to sit there and rip on the judge or yell or cuss at the judge. Even after the fact, don't forget, a lot of these people are more than one time offender. They coming back, judge is going to remember that. So,
and my point was exactly what you're saying, that the issue is not with the judges, it's with the people outside who come into the court and bring with them an attitude that says, this is a complete waste of my time.
Exactly.
And in too many cases, it has been so.
On the opposite side, too, things that I used to get away with when I was a teenager, they get charged with crimes.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, everything has changed a lot. We can't have those juvenile pranks anymore. That doesn't exist in today's world. Everything is really serious and taken very seriously. And I think there's a lot of pressure on defendants as well, because what sometimes is a very minor matter gets blown up, and maybe the DA's overcharging because they're supposed to be a law and order type of a DA.
He's getting elected.
I agree with that, Denise.
Some of the things think I see the charges, like, really? I mean, yeah, that was wrong, but come on, man. Let's deal with the murder right now, or the thief, or something like that.
Or this molester, somebody that's out there hurting multiple people, like serial killers. And
but then there's the argument too that they're letting people out for I don't know. Don't forget, they should be clearing up the prisons, because what, 30 years ago, people with marijuana, there's marijuana people, dealers or users are in prison that need to be coming out, right? And that they should be coming out.
And most of them are.
Yeah, they are coming out.
At least in California, they are. Yeah, most of them are. Yeah.
And some of them, it's, you know, if it's legal, it's just no different than prohibition back in the, what, 20s, right? Let's jump from this. Let's talk about this Boy Scout bankruptcy. Here's what happens in bankruptcy. Denise and I were talking about this during the break. It's just amazing what happens in these big cases. Obviously, the Boy Scouts of America are being sued. They have 8,500 now claims, 85,000 claimants. I'm saying claimants because they're victims. I read articles and I look at different stuff. They call them victims. Sorry, but Boy Scouts are innocent until proven guilty, and so are their people. And the scary thing is, what I worry about too is for both sides. And there's clearly been some issues going on there. Clearly, as in you know, innocent until proven guilty. But there's something going on. There's a problem. But how can they defend themselves, the Boy Scouts, when the alleged perpetrators are dead or gone by now, right? Because it's, you know, this goes back to who knows when a lot of them aren't there.
This is a structure where the Boy Scouts did not necessarily employ these people.
Right.
These were volunteer positions, and maybe the scout managers or scout
masters
or whatever. Sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah, scout
but
masters.
Something, you know, like that are more volunteer positions, but yet they're being held responsible for these people that were in these positions of authority,
right,
over children.
Right, but here's the issue, and there's some sick stuff that people have done that there's an issue. But here's 85,000 claims. Not they said there's 85,000 victims. No claims. But here's the staggering number. So in a bankruptcy, they file bankruptcy or about ready to file bankruptcy. What happens is the attorneys have to come in and show, okay, we need this much out of the bankruptcy. These are the fees. These are the experts. These are the numbers. And I thought this number, Denise, included the personal injury lawyers getting their percentage, but it does not. And tell them the number that they're asking the courts to pay out to lawyers and to, you know, experts in these cases and for basically helping the Boy Scouts.
It's really
America.
For the defense.
Right.
And it's $100 million that they're requesting.
Not $100,000. Again, say it again.
$100 million in attorney fees.
And the judge says, that's, quote, that's a staggering number. And that's exactly right. And so it goes into a lot of them. Hey, believe it or not, and apparently they're worth it. Some of these lawyers are charging $1,000 an hour and $1,700 an hour.
Right. So you're also talking about Kumis Council because
wow,
you're dealing with the Boy Scouts and defending the Boy Scouts, but then you've got these other defendants that have to have Kumis Council, and they're all under the umbrella of this insurance policy.
Right.
And when you stop and you think about that, that is astounding.
Crazy. But anyway,
and they're billing at more than $1,000 an hour. Some are at $1,725
yeah,
an hour.
I guess apparently one expert said $1,000 an hour, these complicated bankruptcy courts, they deserve it. They're complicated, and maybe they are. So,
are they from the same firms?
All different firms.
All
there's
different firms.
Wow. Right. So, and then one firm actually has a bill for, I think, $300,000 or something like that, just one for a month or something to that effect. But anyway, that's what's going on. We'll be back. We're going to talk a little bit about Chris Cornell's family. We'll be back.
Stay tuned. As Brett said, we will continue with Radio Law Talk. And I want to remind you that Radio Law Talk is heard live every Saturday, 9 to noon Pacific, at RadioLawTalk.com. And all of our past shows are placed there as well in the form of podcasts. And it's all free at RadioLawTalk.com.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
If you're one of those independent...
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck.
or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Boys are weird.
Who told you that?
Radio Lock Talk.
This is Radio Law Talk.
Thanks, Cal, for bringing us back in. We're ending our third hour almost. This is Radio Law Talk. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO, 855-529-7234. Many of you want to email us. Email us at info@radiolawtalk.com. Again, info@radiolawtalk.com. We appreciate everybody here. We appreciate you as listeners. We really have a strong listener base of loyal fans, and we really appreciate it. We try to make it fun and interesting, and this next segment is going to be extremely interesting. Some things we discussed about Chris Cornell's family he's the front man for Soundgarden. They settled a lawsuit over they're alleging that prescribed drugs. There was an issue there. But before I get into that, I want to just make one side comment. You know what's interesting, Denise, and we've talked about this during the break, is I had my first judge pro tem. Sometimes we work as judges to help the courts out because the courts are overburdened, and we'll come in and try to be a settlement conference judge, which they call a judge pro tem. And I was a settlement conference judge on a pretty interesting, important case that's going to trial, trying to get it settled. And it was my first Zoom conference as a pro tem judge. And it was not only very interesting, but Denise, you know what?
I'm going to have to say I kind of liked it. It was, yeah, I mean, it was because it was, the settlement conferences are more informal than when you're being a traffic court judge or a settlement conference judge. I mean, a law and motion judge. That, you've got to be in the courtroom. But it's very interesting in the settlement conference to try to get these cases to settle. It was nice to be in my office and they dropped me into the, I sit there in the court and the clerk, I've got my clerk there, the one that takes care of me. And then I'll just say, hey, look, okay, I want to go into this room and talk to these people. And they drop you in the room. You talk to them and do that. And then you go back to the clerk and, oh, drop me in this room. Boom, they drop you in. And, oh, wait, I want to go to the bathroom. And while they're thinking and, okay, this party is discussing or going over, you know, sometimes a half hour determining what they want to do. And I'm able to get my work done. I'm there working on my cases. So I kind of enjoyed it, Denise. I'm going to have to say I'm liking this Zoom slash. When I say Zoom, that's the generic term because they all use
different.
Because
it's all video conferencing.
Right, the video conferencing.
But I suspect that it's not $1,700 an hour like those bankruptcy lawyers, right?
Yeah, we don't get paid a nickel. We're volunteer. Yeah.
Is that a volunteer?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
it's a volunteer position with a really stringent experience and qualification process. Every 3 years, we have to requalify as a temporary judge.
Right.
And there's a lot of education involved and a lot of participatory.
Yeah, you can't be anyone.
But right. Then to be a judge, even though they get what you look at on the surface, you'd say, well, you know, $180,000, $200,000 a year, whatever the standard is in California, and at least in our part of the state, it's more in others perhaps. You look at it and you go, compared to the earnings potential of being in private practice,
right.
It's not a lot. They make a sacrifice to go into public service.
Absolutely.
With
absolutely.
And you know what? Those judges, don't forget, these are the cream of the crop usually. And so they're going to get out in the real world. They're going to make a lot of money. And believe me, they are sacrificing and taking a massive pay cut.
They definitely take public service very seriously. And by far, like I said before, the judges are very professional and very fair, and they really try hard to remain unbiased.
Yeah, the vast majority. So when we brought this stuff up about these judges, we talked about that this is such a small amount, but of course it's going to hit the news, right, Cal? It hits the news because it's
always.
But just think, there's such a. I mean, it's 0.0001% probably of the judges that are having these issues, but they're fun to talk about anyway. But Chris Cornell Chris Cornell is the former Soundgarden lead singer, right, Denise?
Correct.
So apparently there's prescription issues that occurred and a lawsuit occurred by the family, and they've settled the lawsuit. Go ahead, Denise, if you want to just follow up on that.
Cornell actually died by suicide by hanging himself, which is a horrific way to die. But he, in his system, he had a number of different prescription medications. And so his family said, despite that his doctors knew that he had addiction issues, they kept prescribing him more and more and more of a certain anti-anxiety type of medication and other anti-opioid and barbiturates that were factors in his death and in his depression and suicidal.
Didn't Elvis Presley's people try this same thing?
Well, I wonder if Presley, Michael Jackson, too. I wonder
Michael Jackson. Yeah. I mean, Presley was a known addict, and what was the doctor's name? Stephanopoulos or Opoulos was the last syllables. Anyway, they approached him and said the same thing. What are you doing here?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, same with suit. Only it was a civil suit,
right.
So the objective was to get money, and it was settled out of court, and the Cornell family has agreed to a settlement in this particular case, which benefits the minor children of Chris Cornell and his former spouse.
I think
his
spouse. Three children, it looked like.
I do think so.
Two or three children, but anyway, sad, but
yes.
We don't know the settlement amount, but at least it's done and move on. A lot of times those settlements are, they try to keep them confidential.
And this was confidential, so we don't know what ultimately came by. And it would have been a 50-50 proposition anyway in the civil court, you know, so I'm glad to hear that it settles, and I do hope that his children got some money to just help him.
Yeah, they're tough cases to win. Go ahead, tell us about Melissa McCarthy. That's kind of an interesting note. And then Denise is going to follow up really quick. We got these new mics. We're still getting used to them. we're going to talk about just an update on the NRA Chapter 11 bankruptcy petition. But go ahead and let's talk about Melissa McCarthy, because we're gonna end this segment here pretty soon.
So Melissa McCarthy, she's really she's very much a success in the box office, right? Almost all of her movies just go sky high. She's really good. Well, she had a movie called Life of the Party, and this woman named Eva Kowalski, she wrote a script that was called College Mom, and Eva Kowalski's now have sued Melissa McCarthy and several other persons involved with Life of the Party, saying that they had actually stolen her idea. And this type of suit happens all the time, and the reality is they don't win very often. It's very difficult because you get down to who had the idea first. Did this person get it from this source, or did the other person get it from that source? And it usually is a lawsuit that fails. But the what sticks out in your mind is that the suit is for $10 million, but the Life of the Party did not net that much money. It only netted $85 million at the box office, but it cost over $30 million to actually produce it and directed and all of that type of stuff.
So what happens? Did she sue the movie or did she sue the person? Because if the movie
All of them. Yeah. All of them. And she sued some other people that we don't know the connection yet. There weren't directors or producers. So we just don't know if they're connected by way of she shared that information with them or how it works out yet. But we'll find out.
Yeah, we also have a really quick, we're just jamming through this so we can get through it. A Texas judge dismisses the NRA's Chapter 11 bankruptcy petition. This is Fox News talked about it, but just to make it quick, look, NRA and New York don't get along anymore, and the NRA is based out of New York, so they're moving to Texas, and so the New York, the state of New York's trying to charge them.
Is NRA, their headquarters in one place, but however they were incorporated in New York. So when they filed for bankruptcy jurisdictionally, they had to file in New York.
Right.
So they then wanted to move to Texas because New York, the prosecutors got involved and they found, they were at least alleging that the head people of the NRA had misappropriated funds. So NRA then moved to Texas and then tried to file in Texas thinking that they could have jurisdiction in Texas. Right. Where they'd be more favorably treated. And Texas bankruptcy court said
no.
And you can't use jurisdiction and try to create jurisdiction to get out of penalties in another state.
So we're going to follow that. That's what's going on there, another fight. Well, we loved being here, and we have the most important thing, which is called quick takes, right, Cal?
That's right. The question is, who has a quick take? So I'm going to start with you, Mr. Penny.
Yeah, remember, this is not, usually I do funny ones, but remember, if you want to be treated with respect when you're in court, it's wise to treat the court with respect, and that's the smartest thing to do.
Denise, what is your quick take today?
My quick take is, if I'm sitting as a judicial officer and somebody comes before me with their name on funny or obscene, I'm going to say, Mr. Blankety Dank, how would you like me to refer to you?
Thanks for being here. We'll talk to you next week, 9 to 5, 9 to noon, every Saturday Pacific time. Thank you.
Radio Law Talk.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer, it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer, Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer. Excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.